Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV, at BGeltzNBA on Twitter. Brian, thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well, except I think we're kind of stuck right now.
We're not doing well, Brian. We're watching teams play right now in the Eastern Conference Finals, where we thought it was a given that we would be there the entire year,
right,
and we didn't get out of the second round of the playoffs.
Never mind,
again.
Brian. We're not doing horrible.
Well.
We're doing really bad right now, Brian.
We're getting
Brian.
LeBron calls.
It's horrible.
Brian. We're getting LeBron calls.
We have to dump right now, Brian. That's how bad it is.
It's rough, guys. I get it. Listen, you kind of felt like you've been past this LeBron stuff, right? All of a sudden, these rumors, and I don't know where they come from. And some of it's nuts to me. When the whole thing starts with, well, if LeBron decides he's willing to take a league minimum. Are you kidding me? Like, when's LeBron taking a league minimum? Absolutely, patently absurd. Not going to happen. And listen, there's things the Cavs can do here in this offseason to change this roster to make it a little more matchup friendly. But I think the Cavs have to look at that, and I don't think LeBron should be any part of that. Nor, by the way, do I think he will be any part of that. I think the Lakers situation is a very positive one for him, and probably next to Luka gives him his best chance to win, if he does have a chance to win between now and retirement, whenever that actually happens.
Go ahead,
Brian.
Tom.
The Cavs, you know, Ken asked me earlier in the show about whether or not I thought they were more talented than the teams playing today, and I said yes. And I wasn't going to change my mind just because they lost. I do think they are more talented than the Pacers, and I think they're more talented than the Knicks. So why is it that they're sitting at home right now?
Well, a couple things. Number one, the Cavs were banged up in that series, and Garland's foot was bad, and Mobley was dealing with an ankle issue. And listen, Mitchell wasn't totally healthy. But with all that said, I do think there's an underlying issue that happened with the Cavs during the season, where the Cavs, in thinking that they were just keeping guys healthy and fresh, they rested guys at times with little knick-knack injuries. And I think when you do that and then come playoff time and guys have knick-knack injuries, they don't necessarily know how to play with those types of injuries and be able to push through. And I do think there's a little bit of a mental and physical toughness issue with the Cavs. And I know it's something that's being addressed in-house right now because I think they see it too. So that's the mentality right now, saying, okay, the Cavs are definitely more talented than both of these teams are left. But nonetheless, Indiana disposed of them quickly. And I also think there's a roster construction issue with the Cavs. And I don't know that it's an easy fix. And I think they can't fix both issues. They have to lean into one or the other. And it's obviously the two bigs and two small guards. Well, which one do you keep? Which one allows you to match up better with, let's face it, the two teams that are playing right now? Because those are going to be the two that you're probably going to have to go through next year. We're staring down the barrel of Boston in a transition year and not having Tatum the entire year and having to figure out how to get out of their financial quagmire. And I think these are the two teams you look at. And maybe if that's what you're going to – if those two teams that you look at and how to match up, I think the move is an Allen trade to –
The best players remaining right now in the series in the Eastern Conference are Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton. Do I have to now put them ahead of Donovan Mitchell in the pecking order of best Eastern players?
No, I don't think so. Listen, I think you have to, by the way, I don't know if it's fair to bring up Brunson as one of the best players available without mentioning Karl Towns as well. because the Knicks would be buried right now without what he just did in the fourth quarter of that game, and that was mostly done with Brunson on the bench. So I want to be fair about that, too. With all that said, in a Cavs lens, no, Mitchell's better than both of those guys. And listen, Mitchell had a better year than both those guys. Now, again, that Brunson thing could flip next year, and Halliburton's probably closer than most Cavs fans want to acknowledge to Donovan Mitchell. But as I was saying earlier, guys, I think trading Allen for some wing depth and another starting wing that can step in and start next to Hunter is the move. Like, when you look at how you're going to match up better with these teams, having, like, for example, and this is not, you know, I don't want to be aggregated on this because this is not intel more than speculation and just kind of, you know, throwing out ideas. But even something like Allen to the Warriors for Kuminga and Moody. Give you wing depth, give you size that starts, and you match up much better with the Pacers and the Knicks that way. Because that's the thing. When you look at the Cavs roster construction, the lack of having those multiple wings, the Tatum and Brown, the Anunoby and the Bridges, even to a lesser extent here, what you're seeing with the Pacers with guys like Siakam, Nesmith, and Nembhard, and Halliburton being a long guard, you do need some more length on the perimeter if you're the Cavs. And a couple things that you've learned, you can count on Hunter. Jerome's not going to defend in a big spot. I don't know that bringing back guys like Merrill and Okoro are going to solve the kinds of issues that they had. Talent-wise, you know, on both ends of the floor at those wing spots, and really Allen, to me, may be the sacrifice, because I do think that you have so much dynamic shot-making potential out of Garland and Mitchell, and they found something together this year, and I think that's something you want to tap into deeper, not get rid of. Almost by process of elimination, talent-wise, I think splitting the bigs is probably the offseason move.
We've had multiple years now where Darius Garland plays terrific, all-star level, heck, all-NBA level for much of the season, and then it fell off a cliff, and then he got injured, and the playoffs were really bad. So whether it's injury or whether it's just his limitations as one of the smaller point guards in the league, is it something that we officially have to start to think about pivoting from at some point?
A little bit. I mean, listen, again, I just gave you the two considerations. Break up the bigs, break up the guards, right? So you have to look at that option. And I think some of that, guys, listen, I'm predisposed to break up the bigs. I think there's a market for Allen out there. And again, I love the Garland-Mitchell combination. I think there's playoff potential. There's good players for healthy. With all that said, if you go out on the trade market and start to throw both names out there and find that the returns on Garland are outsized and enormous, you have to consider that too. I think you do have to make one substantial change to the top end of this roster. But if you're not going to see value in, I wouldn't move Mobley. I know there's been Mobley for Giannis rumors. I to me, that's a starter if I'm the Cavs, and I love Giannis. But, you know, you have, to me, your young core here that you want to build around is Mitchell, Mobley, and Garland in that order. So I wouldn't go near that. But if you're talking about splitting the bigs, which is what I am talking about, the guy that moves to me is Jared Allen.
I think a lot of people agree with you on that, Brian. Do you believe that there's a bigger market then for Darius Garland than what I might have thought? Because, you know, we always keep saying, we need a wing, we need a wing, we need a wing. But, and people are quick to trade Darius Garland for a wing, but I'm thinking, who wants to get Darius Garland and give up their dynamic wing? Is there a market then for Darius? Am I wrong?
No, I think there's a market for Darius Garland. I think there could be a significant market for Darius Garland. I think a team like Brooklyn would look at a young guard like Darius Garland and say, heck, we'll pay up for him. And so there's teams that would do that. I think you've lost a few in the market. Listen to Spurs.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Trading for De'Aaron Fox and then having a number two pick here, which looks likely to be Dylan Harper, that takes them out of the market for him. But you can look, listen, a team like Sacramento could use a guard like that, has a couple of pieces that potentially Cleveland could use. Like, there's a market for him. There would be a significant market for him. It's not, I don't look at him as being a bad or a toxic contract, because hand the guy the ball as a lead guard, and he's an excellent high pick-and-roll guard. Can make shots, makes passes, makes a lot of the right decisions, and with the right defensive infrastructure, he's easily hidden. I think one of the things that you look at with him, with the Cavs, is that he's really not a good defensive player. And by the way, Donovan Mitchell has moments where he's not a good defensive player. And sometimes hiding both of those guys, especially in a playoff setting, becomes difficult. And we did see that in the Pacers series. Now, in all fairness, Garland was not a healthy player in that series. So I don't know that that's a fair appraisal of what he is defensively, but we do know defensively he's not in the upper echelon of defensive guards. So that is certainly a problem. But again, I do think there would be a vibrant market for him because of his age, because of what he's achieved at a young age, and because of his immense talent. He's also the type of guy, and I think this year kind of made his reputation, improved his reputation around the league, where the thought was he was going to ask out if Donovan Mitchell was signed to an extension. He was very open-minded about what Kenny Atkinson could do with both of them together, and it worked out, and he was a willing and enthusiastic participant in it working out. So I don't think teams would turn away from him from that standpoint. It's a long way of me saying I think the market for him would be pretty good if that's the direction they decided to go to.
Hey, what do you think about the state of the NBA? We're talking to Brian Geltziler right now. Terrific breaking this stuff down. Seven champions in 7 years. The physicality that we are seeing in the playoffs and the amount of parity that it just seems like more teams have a chance to win the championship than I can ever remember. How do you feel about the state of affairs?
I like it. I say I like it. And I go forward with caution because I wonder if the Board of Governors and the large majority of the owners of the league are going to like it. I wonder if the TV networks that just ponied up the amount of money they ponied up are going to like it. Because ultimately, when this new CBA was put in with this second apron, the underlying object of it, okay, I should say the overarching object of it, was parity. They wanted the second apron to function as a hard cap. And guys, it has. It's really deterring teams. Teams are doing what they have to do to stay out of the second apron because of the handcuffs it puts on you in adding to your roster and improving your roster. So when you do that, when you put a hard cap effect on a collective bargaining agreement and on a salary cap, you're going to get more parity. And that's what we have right now. We have more parity. But what's the stomach of the Board of Governors for an OKC-Indiana final? That's the big question. Listen, an OKC-New York final, having New York in it, they'll be thrilled. That's great. But an OKC-Indiana final, two smaller markets. And listen, I think it'll still do a decent rating. It'll be wonderful basketball, two teams that are fun to watch. But how many of the local regional casuals is that bringing in? Not the volume it would with a team like New York. So are the bottom line numbers going to be there? And if they're not, how's the Board of Governors going to feel? Because if this is what's going to happen, and again, we have a good 4 more years in this CBA till we negotiate it out. If this becomes parity is the norm here, I could see a pivot, you know, front with the Board of Governors leaning towards back helping the big markets that want to spend more. And that's the one thing. If you wanted to spend more, they were going to punish you for spending more in the CBA. And this is a result of that. They're getting what they went after. They are. The question is, do they want what they went after? They're about to find out.
Well, I'll tell you this, Brian. It's not just that. And the thing about the markets, obviously true, certainly. I wonder the issue of, hey, you've had more parity, but you also have less villains. Like, there's people on dominant teams that people want to eventually see lose, and I'm not getting that. And I think that that does hurt it a little bit. Like, if the Yankees do well, okay, fine, it's a big market. But there's also a hate that everybody has. Everybody thinks they're a rival with the Yankees. Everybody thinks they're a rival with the Lakers or with the Celtics or even with the Cowboys who want to do football. But I think it's really proven to be with Kansas City. A lot of people are tired of seeing them win. So now you don't have, like, a underdog story of anybody going up and beating these great teams. Like we saw even with the Heat and the Spurs getting them and the Dallas Mavericks getting them. And I think that takes its toll after a while.
Well, to be fair, I think the league's in transition right now. I think there's an old guard that's kind of, you know, I guess stepping aside is the wrong word, an old guard that's being moved aside by a younger revolution of player that's coming in here. And I think Oklahoma City represents a lot of that. With all that said, you're always developing new villains in the NBA. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton stood in the middle of the court at Madison Square Garden and did the choke sign on a game-tying jumper to put the game in overtime. You know, he's a scourge of the Garden fan.
I had to hide my kids. That was a very sad display, Brian. I was outraged.
Listen, I hear you, but that's the point. You talk about not having the types of villains. That's a villain right there on the floor. That's a guy that's willing to do that in front of the entire Madison Square Garden crowd. Listen, Anthony Edwards is a big, big trash talker. You know, they're about to lose this series down 3-1. A lot's going to turn on him. 2 years in a row, a conference final, hasn't been able to get through. There may be a little bit of an angry villain status being attached to him. I think all of this plays out in an organic fashion is my point. You're going to get those villains at a certain point in time. We're in it. Listen, this is Indiana and Minnesota's second consecutive trips to conference finals for both teams. They're kind of planting their flag a little bit, and between Halliburton and Edwards, both of them have the kinds of guys that can be that villain with the right rival on the other side. Now, you want to say to me, is Oklahoma City the right rival on the other side from Minnesota? Maybe not, because they're a team that's kind of vanilla and doesn't have, you know, they're a great team to watch, but in terms of off-court dynamics, they don't have those types of personalities. With that said, they're a very together group. But listen, Halliburton's got the right enemy. Being an enemy in Madison Square Garden in New York, that's as big as it gets. Ask Trae Young. It put him on the map a while back, four years back. And again, there's been, you know, from Reggie Miller to wherever you want to go in terms of what has been a rival in Madison Square Garden, Halliburton's put himself on that radar. So I think part of it is a transition, and you'll get those rivalries and those villains to happen somewhat organically.
Brian, 20 seconds. Who is the face of the NBA right now?
You know, I always have a tough time with that question. To me, I think Nikola Jokic is the face of the NBA right now. I don't buy the fact that it can't be a foreign player. I think Jokic is the best player in the league. I did vote for SGA for MVP because I thought he was the MVP this year. But there's no doubt, I think Nikola Jokic is the face of the league. I really do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because of the unselfish nature of his game and how he plays and how much people attached to the league love to watch him play basketball and his attitude. He's the face of the league right now. If you want to say that belies a significant problem because of the fact that he's not all that media savvy, you can say that, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that him as the face of the league it's a healthy league right now. I don't think there's a lot of problems with this league at all. I think it's been a fantastic playoff, and Jokic is the face of the league is something I'm very comfortable with.
Brian, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely outstanding stuff for Brian Geltzeiler on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He says Jokic is the face of the league. Do you think I agree or disagree with him?
I think you'll disagree.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.